For a long time, certain segments of Catholicism have embraced praise and worship style music and events, including praise and worship style masses. But does this type of activity have a place within Catholicism? Is it a legitimate activity for Catholics to engage in? That's what we're going to talk about today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host and editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before I get started, I just want to encourage people to smash that like button. I think I invented that phrase, smash the like button, and also to subscribe but don't notify. I actually think I probably did do that one, the subscribe but don't notify. So anyway, do the like button thing and the subscribe and all that other stuff. Also, you can find us on social media at Crisis Mag at most of the channels. I don't think we're not on Truth Social yet. I'm not even sure if that's still a thing. Maybe we'll get on there as well at some point. Also, these videos are live streamed on Tuesday afternoons on YouTube, on Odyssey, on Facebook, and on Twitter. So you can catch us live there. That's always exciting. It will also be available then later on all those channels to watch anytime you want. And of course, it's available at whatever podcast platform you happen to be using. Okay, so today's topic, I am pretty confident that I'm going to annoy just about everybody who's watching this, because I'm going to say something you disagree with, and you're going to say, Sammons, you're just being weak on this, or whatever the case may be. That's okay. I don't mind doing that. So I was on vacation last week. It was great. No internet, no nothing except for nature and my family, which was beautiful. So I really enjoyed that. But when I came back, I, of course, checked out Twitter, logged into Twitter, see what are people talking about. And one of the things I noticed that a number of people were talking about was a tweet from Chris Stefanik. I'll pull it up here on the screen. I'll read it for those who are just listening. So Chris Stefanik, first of all, for those who don't know, he is a pretty well-known Catholic speaker. And I think most of his ministry, his apostle, whatever you might call it, is directed towards youth. And he's very involved with the Steubenville conferences, the Franciscan University of Steubenville. For those who don't know what that is, the conferences, every summer they have a number of conferences, and a lot of them are youth conferences. And they now have these youth conferences at different locations throughout the country, including at Steubenville. And so Chris Stefanik was at one of them, apparently. It looks like it was at Missouri State, based, and he posted a video from it. He said, morning worship with 3,500 teens, God is good. And he tagged Franciscan. And so, you know, pretty basic tweet. But the video itself is what got people very, I don't know, I said triggered, and I didn't mean that in some type of derogatory sense. But it got people talking, to say the least. And so let me go ahead. I'm going to play the video here. For those who are just listening, you're going to get the general sense of it. It's a big college auditorium, like stadium, and there's, like he said, 3,500 teens are there. And so here is the video that was that Chris Stefanik posted up. So what you can see there is obviously they're singing a praise and worship song. It looks like most of the youth have their hands raised, which is a very typical posture when during these events and while singing these type of songs. And so the reaction, though, on Twitter, which, you know, let's be honest, Twitter is meant to be people arguing with each other about everything. But I noticed that a number of particularly traditional Catholics were essentially saying it's not Catholic. That this is, I mean, that's, that was the one I saw first, was somebody just saying, this is not Catholic. And obviously in response, people who support these type of events and Chris Stefanik himself basically said, you trans are being jerks. I mean, they didn't actually say, well, maybe they did, some of them. But essentially it was the typical divide of where somebody posts something from the Catholic world that it, and then traditional Catholics critique it, attack it, do whatever, have a problem with it. And then other Catholics come back and say, there goes those rad trads again, you know, with their nitpicking and with their stupid criticisms, they're always so negative. So another day in Twitter, in other words. So I thought it was interesting. I made a comment. I meant to grab the tweet here that I could post up. I can't remember what I said exactly, but I essentially said something to the effect of, I don't have as big a problem with this as a lot of other traditional Catholics have. So I'm going to go through that today, kind of what my concerns are. But I also mentioned that there are dangers involved in these type of events, this type of music. And so I want to talk about that today, both the dangers I see with praise and worship events like this, and also what I think are the good things that I think come from this. So let me be clear, first of all, what I mean by praise and worship music. It does have Protestant origins. Let's just be clear about that. I think if we try to act like it doesn't, we should, that's just denying the history. There are Catholics who are involved in this. Probably Matt Maher is the best known. I'll put it this way. He is the best known the last time I was following. I don't really follow this anymore. So maybe there's somebody bigger now. I don't know. But it, like I said, it has Protestant origins. And it's basically contemporary music, modern music, intended to bring about an emotional response from the listener, who often gets involved by physically like raising their hands and things like that while they're singing at these events. And by the way, when I say bring about emotional response, I'm going to talk about that more in a minute. What I mean by that, it's not meant to be just a negative comment, but I'll explain that more later. And you see these things often at charismatic events, for lack of a better term, charismatic events. And of course, Franciscan University Steubenville is well known for having a charismatic flavor to it. I think that's a lot of that is not as accurate as people think it is. As somebody who went to Franciscan years ago, but also has a number of children who are Franciscan now, I can tell you it's not the charismatic stereotype people think it is. But at the same time, there's no question it has a charismatic influence. And so at charismatic events, you'll see this. And you'll see this praise and worship music both outside of Mass, at maybe a concert setting or just a praise and worship session, they might call it. But you also see it in the context of Mass. Now, I will be honest, I'm not 100% clear in that video if that was in the context of Mass. I mean, Chris said that it was he put morning worship with 3,500 teens. And it looks like the altar is ready for Mass. And so maybe this was the recessional hymn or a processional hymn. I don't know. So I'm going to assume it was at Mass, but it doesn't always have to be Mass. But it is at Mass often as well. So it's both inside and outside of Mass. Now, before I kind of go through my own thoughts on this, I just want to get my background real quick. I grew up Protestant. I converted to Catholicism in the early 90s. Now, the one thing is I grew up, though, in a Protestant environment that was not did not have praise and worship music. It was a United Methodist church. It was a pretty staid church. It was after I was growing up and I'd left and left the Methodist church, that they introduced what they call a contemporary service that had more, I think it has praise and worship music. We didn't do that a lot, though, when I was there. So I don't actually, even though I grew up Protestant, I wasn't very involved with the praise and worship thing. I did go to a couple retreats in high school that did include music like this. Michael W. Smith was the big one back in my day. And so it's not that I wasn't exposed to it at all. It just wasn't a weekly or a regular thing that I was involved in. Now, it was charismatic Catholics associated with the University of Steubenville in a lot of ways that brought me into the church, that were the example to me and the witness to me of Catholicism. And so it was definitely charismatic Catholicism that was kind of my first introduction to the lived out Catholic faith. I had read things, you know, from Catholic Answers and places like that. But seeing Catholicism lived out was within the context of charismatic Catholicism. I then went off to Franciscan University Steubenville. I was there in the mid-90s when it was much more charismatic than it is now. They would have what they call the Festival of Praises, I think once a month on Saturday. I don't know if they still do that. I didn't really go to them. I wasn't that interested. I was never myself, because of my personality, I was never much of a raise your hands charismatic type of personality, to be honest, but I had an appreciation for it because these people brought me into the Catholic Church. After I was married and living out in Maryland, we lived right down the street from a charismatic Catholic community. Have a lot of good friends in that community, still do. Some of the best people I've ever known are part of that community, and I love them to death. So you can see I have a I've had positive experiences with praise and worship music, charismatic Catholicism, things like that. Now, at the same time, I've been attending the traditional Latin Mass for 11 years now. I mean, that's my parish I go to every week, every Sunday. I attend a traditional Latin Mass. That is definitely what I think. That like I said, that's what I am now. And so clearly, I've moved in a different direction from charismatic Catholicism from in my past, and now I'm much more focused on the traditional Latin Mass and attending that and traditional forms of worship like that. Now,
we'll be back after a quick break.
Playlist shuffled? Check. Drinks on ice? Check. Z-Biotics? Make the most of your time with friends by starting your evening with Z-Biotics, the only pre-alcohol probiotic designed to make those rough mornings after drinking alcohol a thing of the past. Z-Biotics is key for those who live for the moment. Visit ZBiotics.com to learn more.
So let's get into, let me get into the actual specifics now. So this is one of those things that divides Catholics, and maybe it should, maybe it shouldn't. I want to make it clear that although traditional Catholics have a reputation for being critical of everything, it's not that wrong that they are, because there's a lot of things wrong in the church today. And when you see the numbers of millions and millions of Catholics leaving the church, I think it's pretty clear that the things we do now, the way we do them, are open to criticism. And to act like everything is okay and to hold things above criticism because, you know, the people in the church do it, I think is ridiculous. When everything is falling apart around us, we should at least be willing to be self-critical. Yes, we can blame the world for the secularism and the wokeness and all that stuff that's destroying souls, and we should be. But at the same time, we should be internally critical. And so something like praise and worship, Steubenville conferences, things like that are not above criticism. And I don't think it's just a matter of trads being negative here and we can just dismiss it like that. Oh, there goes the trads again, hating on everything. No, I think we need to be willing to say, perhaps traditional Catholics have a point here, and perhaps we should look at that. Now, I personally admit, when I see something like this, my initial reaction is a positive one, but I think we need to be serious about the negative, the dangers, as I mentioned when I first saw it. So a couple things I want to say about what I think are the dangers and the negatives of it before I talk about what I think some of the positives of praise and worship music. The number one thing is, I personally do not believe praise and worship is in ever appropriate during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I've been to Masses, Novus Ordo Masses, where if they would have praise and worship music, it would be a huge, huge improvement over the crap they're singing normally. I mean, in fact, if you go to your typical suburban parish and the music they sing there, the Marty Hogan, you know, David Haas junk music, then praise and worship music is a huge step up from that. So I just want to make sure that's clear. We have to understand this. One point I made was we understand the context. The context is most parishes in America are lifeless. The music is terrible. The preaching is terrible. And so when people see praise and worship services like this one, maybe even masses, I understand they think, well, this is a huge improvement. And I agree with them. However, I just don't think praise and worship music is appropriate mass. I really think at mass, we should have Gregorian chant as the Second Vatican Council encourages. We should have sacred music that's not driven to give us an emotional response. I don't think that's ever appropriate at mass. So if this video that Chris shared was at mass, I personally just don't think that's appropriate to be at mass. So take that for what it's worth. I also think there's a big mistake. My wife brought this up to me when I was bringing it up to her last night or this morning. She was saying, it's not required that we do praise and worship music whenever we do something for youth. I personally think it's wrong to have a huge focus on the youth, as they say. I think separating them and segregating them from the rest of the church is an unhealthy thing. I mean, I was part of a youth group in my Protestant a church growing up. My kids in the past have been part of a youth group. I'm not saying youth groups are terrible, but I do think this kind of overemphasis and focus on the youth, I think, and trying to adapt everything to them, I think is not appropriate. I think kids should basically be trained how to be adults. Doesn't mean they don't have fun. They don't have a good time. They go out and play soccer. They go out and do whatever they want to do after Mass. That's great. But during Mass, you're training them to be Catholic, to be adult Catholics, and to understand how to worship God, to understand what the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is. And I personally think, again, the traditional Latin Mass is the best way to do that. So I don't think that we need to have praise and worship music at every youth event, that or else they won't come or something like that. I would love to see a youth conference that's focused on tradition and does things more in a more traditional manner. I don't know of any that do. There might be a few that do. I don't know of any. I'd be interested to see what they're like. So it's not that I don't. So I think this idea, my criticism here is this idea that, oh, if we want to attract youth, young people, we got to have praise and worship music. I think that's a false statement. I just don't think that's true. I think that young people are attracted to the truth. They're attracted to beauty. And so they're going to be attracted to something. The tradition, and it's the reason there's so many young people going to traditional Latin Mass now, is because it's true, it's beautiful, it's good, and young people are attracted to that. Pope John Paul II did a great job of always emphasizing that. He did not dumb down things for the youth, and that's why the youth loved him. He wasn't trying to make things as simple as possible or anything like that. No, he had such a high opinion of them. He wanted to lift them up. And I think the same thing is true now with youth events. I don't think we need to have like dumbed down music for them. I think we can have Gregorian chant, sacred music. And I think they'll be attracted to it. Those who are open-minded and love Jesus, I think they would love that. So I think we can do that. So another, here's a big issue I have, a big criticism of the traditional Latin Mass. I want to read you a tweet that I saw in connection with all this. Stephen Cox, and I apologize, Stephen, if I mispronounce your last name. It's K-O-K-X. I think he writes for LifeSite News. I hope I didn't confuse that either, Stephen. He says, Steubenville worship services equals a sugar rush for undernourished teens. Sure, they might provide a boost of energy, but they're not anything to build your faith on. Nor do they seem healthy over the long term, as evidenced by the bizarre charismatic movement. I actually don't know what that is, to be honest. Best to stay away. I think his point, though, the sugar rush for undernourished teens that provide a boost of energy, but they're not something to build your faith on. That's kind of what I think he's got a valid point. I think Stephen has a valid point there, that there's a danger of emotionalism. There's a danger that we base our faith on our emotions, and we're constantly looking for that next high, that next sugar rush, as Stephen put it. I think we need to be careful about anything that would do that. If one of the big dangers of an event like the Steubenville conference is a kid goes there, he experiences an emotional high, he comes back to parish life in which there's no way that doesn't happen. It's there is no emotional high. And then he just, his whole experience of the lived faith is this emotional high. And so when he doesn't get that, he potentially goes away. So I definitely think there's a problem, a danger, I should say, with emotionalism, with trying to give these kids a sugar rush, emotional high, so that they will be faithful. And then when that sugar rush, when they crash, they crash and they leave the church. I think those are some of the criticisms I have of praise and worship music. Now, okay, just real quick. I also understand music always has a certain element of personal preference. I think there are objective qualities in music. So for example, Gregorian chant is objectively superior to heavy metal music. And there are certain types of music which are actually dangerous to the soul. I think heavy metal music being one of them. And certain types of music which are uplifting to the soul. For example, Gregorian chant, maybe classical music, Beethoven, something like that. That being said, I think there's a lot of gray area in between those extremes where people just have personal preferences. And I get that there are people who just don't like praise and worship music. It's not Beethoven. It's not Mozart. It's not Gregorian chant. It's not everybody's cup of tea. And so for people who just don't like it, that's fine. Nobody has to like it. I'll be honest. I like it at times. I mean, I kind of go in phases. I haven't really been into it much lately, but sometimes, you know, I'll listen to it on the radio, in the car or something like that. And I enjoy it and it's fine. So, you know, that's another reason why we don't want to make praise and worship music something that is attached to the faith. Like we have to do this all this youth conferences. What about young people who don't like that type of music, who are more quiet types? They prefer better music. They're going to be turned off by this. So again, it's not that the youth, we have to use this music to attract the youth. Now, I do want to mention, though, what I think are some positive qualities of these type of events. The first is emotion is not bad. Emotions are given to us by God. Human emotions were created by God. Our Lord had human emotions. Our Lady had human emotions. The saints have human emotions. All of us, we have human emotions. So emotions in themselves are not bad. And so there is something to be said for emotions leading us closer to God. Let me just give a quick story. When I was considering Catholicism, I went to a Catholic retreat that was charismatic in flavor. I had not yet come to the church, and they had adoration. And it was the first time in my life I'd ever been to adoration. And it was done, they had adoration, they had a monstrance at the altar, but they had praise and worship music going on during it. And I will say that was a very powerful emotional experience for me, and it helped me to recognize the true presence of our Lord in the Eucharist. That was the first time I really said, yes, this is God, this is the Almighty Creator of the universe in under the appearance of a piece of bread. And that was a big deal for me. Now, today, when I go to adoration, I don't expect praise and worship music. I don't expect the emotional high. In fact, if they started singing that music, I'd be annoyed. I like it being quiet. I want it to be quiet. And I recognize our Lord still. But I do credit that emotional experience from many years ago as being kind of a kickstart to help me understand. Now, if my whole experience of adoration was based upon praise and worship music and emotional experience, that would be very unhealthy. And obviously, I'd stop going to adoration because I wouldn't be getting that emotional experience each time. So it's not that you base and build everything on that, but it can be a kickstart that gets you going in a good direction. And so I don't think just because these conferences do tend to be emotional, I don't think that's necessarily bad. If they're 100% emotional and they're just pushing emotions, that's obviously bad. But I know it. I've been to these conferences before, these type of conferences at least. And, you know, they have emotional experiences, but they also do teaching. They do exhort the kids. It's not just 100% emotion there either. Also, another positive, I know people, including myself, who have grown closer to our Lord through these events, praise and worship events. And it really has helped them in their, I would say that's me. And I know people I know a number of people who were very involved in charismatic Catholicism in the 90s. A lot of them are now attending the traditional Latin Mass, including myself. But I just think it's not, you can't say that people are, that these have no good effects. They do have good, it does have good fruit. I also know there are people who attend these things that fall away. Now, here's the thing. I saw a lot of people criticizing these events saying, hey, check in these kids 10 years from now, most of them will be falling away. Well, here's the reality, people. 98% of all Catholic kids will fall away. By the way, I made up that 98% number, but I'm sure it's close to that. A vast majority of our kids, when I mean our kids, I mean kids who grow up at least nominally Catholic, will not be practicing when they're adults. So to say that a good percentage of these kids who go to Steubenville conferences will fall away. Well, what's the comparison? What's the context? If 95% of our kids fall away, but only 85% of those who attend a Steubenville conference fall away, well, I'd say that the Steubenville conference is doing something good. That's a 10% improvement. Yeah, 85% falling away is terrible, but in comparison to life at a regular parish, it's darn good. So I don't think we can just say because a lot of these kids, probably a lot of them, falling away, even though they attend one of these conferences, as We can't blame the conference for that. We can't blame these events for that. Likewise, they do things that I don't think should be done. For example, communion in the hand, Eucharistic ministers, things like that. They shouldn't do that because I don't think anybody should do that. Obviously, the church allows it, but you don't blame these events for doing what almost all Catholics today accept. Yes, you can say that's a problem, but ultimately, the deeper problems that you see at your lifeless parish, our lifeless parishes, that's what the real problem is. These things are, I think, a step in the right direction. And to me, it's like traditional Catholics, you know, and I count myself among them, we see the problems in the church very clearly. Because if you attend a traditional Latin Mass, if you read the old catechisms, if you raise your kids in the faith of the church, you see a lot that's missing in these other expressions in the church, at typical Novus Ordo parishes, at events even like the Steubenville conferences. You see the problems. And in fact, I just want to say, I was going to say this earlier, but I forgot. My older kids, when they were younger, they went to conferences like this sometimes. But my younger kids, I don't send them to these conferences anymore. Ultimately, I think what we're trying to do at home and in our parish, in our community, is the best way to raise them in the faith. I'm not judging people who send their kids to these conferences. I'm just saying I no longer do that. But ultimately, to me, it's like, okay, we have a major crisis in the church. Yes, to me, the ideal, and I would say the ideal is like traditional Latin Mass, the traditional faith, teaching the faith like that. But I feel like these Steubenville conferences are definitely directing these kids in the right direction. Will it work for all of them? No. Will it maybe even turn some of the kids off? Yes, I think that's possible. But I do think it is generally a good direction. And that's what I'm looking at. And I will admit, I get a little bit tired of the negativity within the trad world. And I'm not saying I don't fall into it too. And again, I'm not saying there aren't a lot of legitimate criticisms of what's going on in the church. I just think our energy should be focused on heretics like Father James Martin, on lifeless parishes, on heretical parishes, not something like this where good people like Chris Stefanik and others are trying to help young people love Jesus more in the Catholic Church. Because they make very clear at these conferences, the Catholic Church is the place to be. They're not encouraging anybody to become Protestant. They're not encouraging anybody to leave the faith or anything like that, non-denominational. They're encouraging people to love Jesus in the Catholic Church. To me, that's the most important thing. Not that the other things aren't also important, but that's the most important thing, and they're doing that right. So I admit, maybe I'm just being a little too positive or something like that. But I think it's ultimately it's a good thing, and it could be better. I guess that's and has dangers that people need to understand. You know, understand those dangers and be aware of them. And I do think sometimes the promoters and the organizers of these Steubenville conferences and conferences like them, they don't always understand the dangers. And I think they should understand the dangers a little bit more. I want to bring up a couple comments. Somebody mentioned it, just their name is Google account. Bishop Strickland is doing a traditional summer youth gathering in Denver. Maybe it already happened. So if that's the case, great. I'd love to hear how that goes. I actually think a youth conference should be segregated also between boys and girls. Maybe there should be a boys conference, young adults, don't call them boys because they're not boys, they're young men. A young men's conference, a young ladies conference, separate. I think that would be a great thing as well. So another comment, I think Jason Watson says, as a former Protestant involved in praise and worship, although the trendier ones would never call it praise and worship, that's true. I'd say a hard no for Mass. Of course, I'd also say no for just about anything but chant at Mass. LOL, I actually agree with you, Jason. I think you're right. He also notes that my biggest concern with praise and worship is that it's very easy to become the point. When I was leading worship, we did specific things to elicit that. That is a big danger, is that you're purposely trying to get that deep emotional response, and that's the only thing that matters. I think we need to look at far more than that. I mean, our faith has to be built on more than just emotions. Emotions can help us in the path, but our faith is built on much more than that. Okay, I think I'm going to wrap it up here. I appreciate everybody who watching this as we went live and the comments. Ultimately, so my final word is kind of what I comment at the beginning, which is when I see something like this, I think good things. I think this is helping a number of young people draw closer to Christ and the Catholic Church. But I think there are definite dangers involved, and that these things can be problematic at times, and that those dangers should be addressed and alleviated. And ultimately, I do think that we should gear Catholics towards our tradition and our traditional sacred music, sacred architecture, and obviously a sacred mass. Okay, well, that's it for now. Until next time, everybody, God love you.